It is my privilege to introduce Pastor Jim again, and hopefully you got to meet him so that he knows some more names in our congregation so that you can have a personal message delivered just for you. But I know he'll probably call on me again this week, but I am just so grateful and thankful that you are here with your wife, Becky. What a joy and a privilege it is to have you share the message today.
Well, good morning again. I'm just going to tell you straight up, I have enjoyed being in New England for this week. We've been at Dalton Bay Christian Conference Center since we were here with you last. I preached there Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and my wife and I have done a little sightseeing. We've played in Lake Winnipesaukee, and I have eaten 13 whoopie pies since I have been in New England. I have the 14th one waiting for me when we're done here. I don't get those down south, so I've really enjoyed doing that. I grew up in New England and loved whoopie pies, and you don't get them down south. They're only up here, so it's been a treat. We got a lot to cover today, and we're going to continue where we left off last week. As you know, last week we looked at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and the message is entitled, Living It, Not Just Quoting It. Turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. We're going to pick up and launch from there. You've got a pew Bible. It's going to be on page 630 in front of you there. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to read to you our passage. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to run through the scriptures. So you better get your Bible, and you better get a note paper out. I'm going to tell you that now. You're going to really need a note paper today and a pen, because I'm going to be explaining something to you that probably every single person in this room struggles with. And I mean that. Everybody in this room probably says, oh, I struggle with that. You're going to need a piece of paper and a pencil, because I'm going to give you a lot to write down. So let's take a look at our passage for this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Father, as we now go into this time where you've orchestrated for me to be here and to bring this message this morning, Lord, I pray for your grace for today. Lord, I thank you that I've had the privilege of sharing these truths around the country for many years. But Lord, I need a fresh anointing of your Spirit this morning for your people here today. You know who's listening online. You know who's going to be watching later on. You know who's here. You know what they need, and I don't. And so, Lord, I'm not going to assume that I do. I'm just going to yield myself to you this morning. Use me for your purposes. I want to be your mouthpiece. Thank you for what you've shown me, but may I not try to communicate these truths. May I trust that your Spirit and your Word will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to jump straight into it and tell you where we're going this morning. At the end of our passage, it says, if we check with God, He will make straight our paths. He will direct our paths. What we looked at last week was the fact that if we stop looking at things the way we would like to look at them and using our own wisdom, but honestly say, God, what do you have in mind? He will show us. Isn't that where we left off? Now, here's the question, though. How do we know when God's talking? How do we know when God's leading? I've talked with many people over the years, and some of you even, as we left last week, you're like, I'm with you. I'm 100% on board, but here's my struggle. How do I know when God's talking? How do I know if it's Him or me? How do I know if it's my own wisdom or if it's His wisdom? And what I'm going to deal with today in the time that we have is this. I'm going to show you the five main ways that God speaks. There's many, many ways that God speaks. His Word talks about many, many of them. But we're going to deal with the five main ways that God speaks to begin you on this journey of learning how to recognize when God is directing your path, when He is leading and guiding. Now, before we can get to the five main ways that God speaks, though, we have to deal with this first topic, this first issue, believing that He will speak. Because a lot of people don't really believe that He will speak and He will guide. And so what I want to do is take you real quick with me to James chapter 1. Go to James chapter 1. We'll go to verses 5 through 8. I believe it's on page 1216 in your pew Bible in front of you. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Look again at what this passage says. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Look closely what the passage says. If you're lacking wisdom, you're needing direction, you want God to direct your steps and direct your path, you need to ask God. He'll generously show you. He'll give you that wisdom. But you must what? Must believe that he will. Ask and don't doubt. And then let God get to determine when he answers and how he answers, but believe that he will. Go with me to John chapter 16 real quick. Go to John 16. I think it's on page 1083 in your pew Bible. John chapter 16. Look at verses 12 through 16. Look at what Jesus says as he's explaining the coming and dwelling Holy Spirit to his disciples right before he goes to the cross. And in John 16 verse 12, Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He'll glorify me, for he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. Don't miss what Jesus is saying here. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, he goes, I got a lot more stuff I want to talk to you about. But you can't bear it right now. There's a whole lot more coming down the road, and you won't understand it if I tell it to you now. Just like when your kids were little and your child was four, you didn't explain childbirth to them at four. They wouldn't be able to handle it. But later on, you had more to tell them. Jesus says, I got a lot more to tell you. But you're not ready for it just yet. But when the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, he's going to guide you into all the truth. He's going to take from what's mine. He's going to make it known to you. Folks, one of the problems that I think leads into the fact that many Christians struggle with the fact that they have trouble hearing God speak is many Christians really don't believe that God will speak to them and show them and lead them. They think that that's only for the preachers or people that have been to seminary. No, you need to believe that if you're lacking wisdom, he'll give it to you generously. He will show you. Now, what we're going to start moving into, though, is how do we recognize that he's talking? So if you got your paper and your pen, I'm going to give you the five main ways that God speaks. He speaks in many other ways, but I'm going to give you the five main ways that he speaks. But I need you to write them down on your note paper in the way that I'm going to show you. Because it's extremely important. Because as you're going to see in just a little bit, we've got it backwards from how God wants to do it. So here's number one. Of the five main ways that God speaks, he speaks through his word. Number one, first and foremost, he speaks through his word. Go to Psalm 119, 105. A lot of you can quote it, but it's in, I think, page 613 on your pew Bibles. I actually got here this morning with all the verses that I had in my heart that I had, that I believe God was going to take us to, and I quickly, hurriedly tried to memorize where all the verses were so you could look them up with me. But go to Psalm 119. I think it's on page 613 in your Bible, in your pew Bible there. Look at verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Remember, he's going to direct our path. Well, how's he going to direct our path? First and foremost, he's going to speak through his word to direct our path. But there's more to it than that. Go back to John chapter 14. I think it's on page 1081 in your pew Bible. Go to John 14. Look at verses 25 and 26. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Look closely at what Jesus says here. He said, these things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he'll bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. So a part of how the Spirit is going to lead us and guide us and speak to us and teach us is going to bring to our remembrance what? What he's already said. Now, don't miss that. Yes, I did sit down this morning and try to memorize what the pages are in your pew Bible for your sake, so you can track with me this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. As much as I can quote scripture to you and know where things are, it's not because I've memorized God's word. I've actually just loved it. And the Holy Spirit brings it to my mind. All the Bible says that we're supposed to do is put it in. If you look at the scriptures, it actually doesn't even say memorize God's word. It actually says hide it in your heart, treasure it, love it, meditate on it, feed on it, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? You trying to memorize scripture is like you trying to do what the Holy Spirit's already promised He would do. He says, you put it in, I'll bring it to your remembrance. The Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. Years ago when I was in high school, again, I went to high school at Newt High School in Milton, New Hampshire, and then I went on to college and down in Florida, and whenever I would take a test, I would always pray right before the test. And I'd say, Lord, please bring to my remembrance all the stuff that I've put in so I can do well on this test. Well, there was this one test one time that I was in college, and I had not studied for that test at all. And I did my ritual, pray before the test, and I prayed, Lord, bring to my remembrance everything. And then as I was praying, I heard God clearly say, you do believe in miracles, don't you? I can't pull it up if you didn't put it in, Jim. In the same way, I'm going to challenge you. Just live in the Word of God. Spend time in it. Love it. By the way, show of hands. Have any of you tried to memorize God's Word? How'd that work out for you? You kind of struggled with it, haven't you? You're like, man, I can't. And you feel like, listen, just spend time in it. I promise you. Love it. Meditate on it. Feed on it. And the Spirit of God will bring it to your remembrance. When you need it, He'll bring those verses to you. And, well, I can't pull up the address like you can. Don't worry about it. You live in the day and age of Google. If he starts bringing it to mind, you can just start typing a few of the words in and boop, there it is. We've been blessed to be in this time period like this. He'll bring it to your remembrance. Now, at the same time, not only does God speak first and foremost through His Word, that's the one way we're going to be able to know who's really talking to us. You do realize, not only does the Spirit of God want to talk to you, but there are other spirits out there that want to talk to you. There's other people that want to influence you. Go to 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 1. You're waiting for the page. It's 12:30. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they're from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, hang on for a second. For years I've heard preachers and other people say, God has already spoken. He's already given us His word. We've got the closed canon of scripture. God has already spoken. His Spirit's not going to speak anymore. He's already spoken. Well, if the Holy Spirit is not going to speak anymore, why do we need to test the spirits? To see if they're from God. If God's not speaking anymore, the only spirit speaking is demon spirits, so we don't have to listen and test to any spirits. No, the Bible actually tells us we need to be testing the spirits to see whether or not they're from God. You're going to be hearing other influences. And the only way you'll know that what you're hearing is biblical truth and from God is if you know the Word and you hold it up against what you hear, against the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to do something with you that I'm not doing this to embarrass you. I don't want you to respond out loud. I just want you to answer in your head and in your heart. How many of you, we don't need a show of hands, how many of you believe in the virgin birth? Now, for all of you that believe in the virgin birth, you believe in a wonderful doctrine. But could any of you tell me where in the Bible teaches the virgin birth? Some of you, if not most of you, would struggle. How many of you believe in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Many of you would say, yeah, I believe in that wonderful doctrine, and it's true. But could you show me in the Bible where the Bible teaches the Trinity? Jim, do you question the virgin birth and do you question the Trinity? No. What I'm saying to you is, you believe correct doctrines about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You believe correct doctrine about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, how there's one God and three persons. But you believe them because someone told you. Not because you know for yourself what the Word says. And folks, the Bible says in the last days there will be doctrines taught by demons. How are you going to know what you're hearing is truth? And by the way, with the internet, as much as it's a good time to live with Google and you can use that to help you find scripture, we're also living in a bad time because of Google. Do you realize there are so many people out there now that can call themselves Bible teachers and they've all got free opportunity to teach? And if you just even try researching something, all this other stuff, and there's a lot of wacko stuff that's out there. But if you don't know the Word of God, you're not going to be able to recognize if God's talking or if someone else is talking. Do you understand? You need to know the word. I could go on more. We're not going to take the time because I got a lot to cover. But the Bible actually talks us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, that the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And it's able to know the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. The word will speak. God will use the word to speak to you, right to it. I'm going to give you an illustration of this later on at the end of the message. But God will use his word to speak right to what it is that you've been praying about and what you're seeking him about. The Bible is very, very clear that we need the word of God to do that. So the first and foremost way that God speaks, and I mean this, the first and foremost way that he speaks is through his word. Number two is this, he'll speak through prayer. Have you ever noticed that when Jesus made big decisions while he was on the earth, they came out of times of prayer? There's a story one time in the Bible where Jesus goes up on this mountain all night and he prays all night. And he comes down from the mountain and he designated 12 to be the apostles. Came out of a time of prayer and he knew what the Father was wanting him to do. Go to Mark chapter 1. I want you to see this. Go to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I think it's page 1002. Might be wrong. My wife said she'd yell it out if I was right. I'm correct. I got a thumbs up from my wife. That doesn't happen very often. That's pretty cool. 1002, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he, this is Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that's why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus gets up early in the morning and he goes off to pray. The disciples wake up. They don't know where he is. So they go looking for him. And when they find him, listen to what they say. "There's a crowd of people that's looking for you here. There's a bunch of people here that want to hear from you." And Jesus says, "Let's go somewhere else." Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you and I think that if there's a crowd of people wanting to hear from Jesus, that that's where Jesus is supposed to be? But Jesus knew that he was going to be listening to the Father. And he spent time in prayer. And in that time in prayer, the Father has already said, "Hey, I got a new assignment for you. It's time to head to the next town." Even though, and we're going to get to that later on today, circumstances look different. The Spirit spoke to him through his prayer time. So God's going to speak to us through his word. He's going to speak to us when we're praying. I'm going to challenge you, when you spend time every day in prayer, I hope you spend time not just in the morning or every now and then. I hope you learn to pray without ceasing, talking to the Lord all the time while you're doing your work, while you're driving your car. But also, when you sit down and take that time to sit and pray, I'm going to challenge you to grab a notepad and a pen, because God's going to speak to you as you're praying, and I want you to write down what you think you heard. It's going to be important. You'll see this later on. So the first way that God speaks, the foremost way that he speaks is what? Through his word. Second and way that he speaks is what? Through prayer. Number three is this. Number three is his spirit. And you say, "Wait a minute, Jim. Isn't that the same thing as prayer?" No. Sometimes God's going to talk to you and you're not talking to him. Sometimes the Spirit of God will just speak to you and you're not even in a time of prayer. I can show you what I'm talking about. Go to Acts chapter 16. Do I get a thumbs up on that one too? You're still looking. Acts 16. Look at verses 6 through 10. Paul says, they went through, or Luke's writing about Paul, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So here we see another way, not one of the five that I'm going to give you today, but God gave him a vision. God actually speaks in visions. He speaks in dreams. That's not going to be one of the five we're going to talk about today. But he speaks to us in many different ways. But the Spirit of God, as he's trying to go do what God's called him to do, he's listening to the Spirit, and the Spirit says, don't go into Asia. And then he tries to go into Mysia, but the Spirit won't let him. How does he recognize the Spirit speaking and Spirit leading and guiding? Well, there's lots of different ways I can help you with that, but the short version is Colossians 3:15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule your heart. That word rule in the Greek actually is kind of like the word umpire. The umpire says safe or out. One of the ways that when my wife and I are praying about something, that we start to see if it's the will of God or not, is we listen for that peace of Christ. Whether or not we have a check in our spirit. You know, there are times the Holy Spirit will, you try to do something, the Holy Spirit says no. And you recognize the Spirit telling you no. There are other times that he gives you a peace. Even though it doesn't make sense, you got a peace about it. And you know that's the will of God. The Spirit of God will speak to you. You have to learn to recognize. Now, I'm going to help you with this for a little bit. I want a show of hands this morning. This will be very, very helpful for you. And I want you to look around when you raise your hands. All right? How many people here, honest, you're making this response in front of God? How many of you struggle with hearing God speak? Look around. Keep your hands up. Look around. Okay, put your hands down. I got another question for you. How many of you, show of hands, have ever had Satan put a thought in your head? Isn't that interesting? I asked you, do you have trouble hearing from God? And you say, yeah, I have trouble hearing from God. I asked you, do you have trouble hearing from Satan? And you go, nope, no trouble hearing from Satan at all. Let me ask you a question. Does Satan live in you? Does Jesus live in you? If Satan, who doesn't live in you, can put thoughts in your head, cannot your Holy Spirit, of your Heavenly Father, Jesus himself, who lives within you, also put thoughts in your head? Folks, you're going to start to learn to recognize that actually, when you begin to seriously believe that God will speak, he will guide, you're going to start to recognize he's talking a lot more than you ever realized, but you've not learned to recognize. We recognize when Satan's talking. But a lot of us haven't learned to recognize when the Holy Spirit puts a thought in our head. Years ago, I was pastor of a church in Chicago, and God was growing that church rapidly. When I got there, there was only about 50 folks in the church and only two children at the time. But God began to do a work, and that church exploded in growth. And to the point that this is actually documented. This is not preacher talk, all right? There were 19 babies born to church members in 15 months. Our nursery got absolutely killed. And when those kids got older, chicken pox went through our church like you wouldn't believe. You think COVID-19's bad? You should have seen chicken pox during that time period. We couldn't go to church for months because everybody had chicken pox because there were so many kids. But as those kids got a little older, we started really feeling like God was leading us to start a children's choir. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, cool. Well, hear God say children's choir, but he's teaching us to look for where he's at work and how he's leading and whom he's chosen. If any of you have read the book that I left for you, The Principle of How There's No Volunteers, Only the Called. Well, what happened was I got up one Sunday morning and I said this to the church. I said, listen, God's telling us to start a children's choir on Sunday nights during the evening service. Just like y'all, we had a fellowship hall basement underneath the sanctuary, and there's going to be a children's choir in the bottom while the adults are up here at church. We really believe God's chosen someone to be the children's choir director. We don't want to fill in. We don't want to volunteer. We don't want someone to say, I'll do it until. We want the one God's chosen. So someone out there today is going to realize the Spirit of God is going to tell you you're going to be in sin if you don't do it because you're the one he chose. So if you're the one that God chose to lead our children's choir, call the church office tomorrow. That's all my announcement was. I said, I don't want someone that says, well, I'm capable. We want the one God chose. So the next morning, I'm about to head to a lunch meeting. My secretary buzzes in my office and she says, Pastor, you got a phone call on line one. And it's a lady in the church. She's all excited. She calls me and she says, hey, Pastor, you know how yesterday you said God chose someone to be the children's choir leader? That's me. I'm the one God chose. I said, that's awesome. I don't have time to talk to you. Heading to a lunch meeting. Can I call you back this afternoon? She said, sure. Now, as soon as I hung up the phone, my secretary buzzes in. She says, you got a phone call on line two. I pick it up. It's a second lady, different lady. Pastor, I'm the one God chose to be the children's choir director. I'm like, that's wonderful. Can I call you back? She said, sure. And I'm not kidding you. My secretary buzzed right back in, said, you got another phone call on line one. It was a third lady, a separate lady. I'm the one God chose to be the children's choir director. I said, that's great. I have to head to a lunch, and I'm not kidding you. I hung up the phone and ran out my back door of my office before the phone rang again. And as I'm driving to this lunch, this is literally what I said to God. I said, God, this isn't funny. You've chosen one lady to be this children's choir director, and I got three ladies that all feel like they've heard you say that they're the one. What do I do with this? I'm going to have to pick one out of the three, and I'm going to have two ladies mad at me. As I was driving back from lunch, dreading these phone calls, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. He just kind of whispered something. A thought came to my mind, and I knew it was him. He said, ask them which age. So I called the first lady back, and I said, when God told you that he had chosen you to do this, did he give you an age group? She said, actually, Pastor, I'm so glad you said that. Please don't be mad, she says, but you don't know a lot about kids. And you're picturing one children's choir from preschool all the way to sixth grade, and they all have different musical abilities and attention spans, and that's going to be chaos. And if it's okay with you, God's already only wanting me to deal with the preschool. I said, I'll call you back. I called the next lady. She had heard first through third grade, and the third lady had heard fourth through sixth. You see, when we said, Lord, what do you have in mind? Instead of just using our human wisdom and picking somebody to do it. And when he said, Lord, show us, speak to us, show us. He had in mind three children's choirs. We were only thinking one. Oh, and by the way, that first Sunday night when we had children's choirs, 75 children showed up. We miss out on so much. Remember last week when I showed you, when go and make preparations? But they don't move. How would you have us do it? And he said, you're going to find it all furnished. Folks, I'm going to challenge you. Be patient. Believe that he will speak. He's going to speak to you, and he's going to show you what he has in mind. He's going to speak through his word. He's going to speak to you through prayer. He's going to speak to you through his spirit. Now, before you go any further, before we get to number four, draw a big circle around 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 cannot be connected to 4 and 5. Draw a big circle on round 1, 2, and 3. Here's the fourth way that God speaks. He speaks through circumstances. He uses circumstances. I got to show you something that you might not have ever seen in the Bible before. It's pretty amazing. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32, page 790 in your Bible. Jeremiah 32, verses 6 through 8. You remember Jeremiah is a prophet, right? And Jeremiah hears God speak very specifically, right? Look closely at what happens here. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 6. Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, will come to you and say, buy my field that is at Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours. Then Hanamel, my cousin, came to me in the court of the guard in accordance with the word of the Lord and said to me, buy my field that is at Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Did you catch that? Jeremiah, the prophet, hears God specifically say these words. Your cousin is going to come and he's going to ask you to buy his field. And then my cousin came and asked me to buy his field. Then I knew it was the word of God. Isn't that interesting? Listen to what I want you to hear. Number 4, number 5, God will use to confirm what he's already said to you through 1, 2, and 3. 4 and 5. Number 4 is circumstances. And I'm going to give you number 5 now. Number 5 is other believers in the church. Number 4 is circumstances. Number 5 is other believers. I'm going to show you how this all works in just a second. God uses 4 and 5 to confirm what he's already spoken to us through his word, through prayer, and through his spirit. Remember, he speaks first and foremost through his word, through prayer, and through his spirit. He'll then use circumstances and other believers to confirm what he's already said to us. Now, honest, let's be honest with each other. When we seek the will of God today, what numbers do we run to first? I'm going to wait. If you're late for lunch, not my fault. What numbers do we run to first? 4 and 5, don't we? We run to 4 and 5. This happened. Must be the will of God. Hey, brother, what do you think I ought to do? Hey, pastor, can I make an appointment with you? I need to know the will of God. And when I was a young preacher, people used to always come and say, what do you think God wants me to do? And I would try to tell them. And then one day it hit me. I'm not the Holy Spirit. That's not my job. Actually, the Bible shows, and I'm going to show you it from the scripture, that the Bible says that I'm okay with people coming and saying, I got a word from God for you. I got no problem with that. But I always say to you, if you come to me today and say, I believe God's given me a word to speak to you, I'm going to say, I got no problem hearing it, but listen closely before you speak. If what you tell me is something I've never heard before, I'm going to reject it. Because God would never, the one who lives within me, tell you something before he's told me. Now, if I've been praying about something and I'm wrestling and waiting for an issue and looking for confirmation and I think I've heard from God, and then you come and say specifically what it is that I've been praying about, I'm going to receive it because he's confirming what he's been talking to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Beware of any brother or sister that comes up, even no matter how well-intentioned, and say, God's told me to tell you you're to do this. If it's something you've never heard, chuck it. But if it lines up with what you've been praying about, it may be that he's confirming what he's been speaking to you about. Let me show you what I mean. Go to Acts chapter 20. I want you to see this. Page 1115. Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 22 through 24. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, listen to what Paul says closely. He says, and now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem. What's the next part? Constrained by who? By the Spirit. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm constrained by the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit is making me go. He's forcing me to go. He's leading me to go. The Holy Spirit says I'm to go to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city, imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I don't account my life of any value, nor is of precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, don't close your Bibles. Don't miss this. Paul said, I am going to Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit's telling me I'm to go to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know the specifics of how it's all going to play out, but this much I do know. The Holy Spirit's already told me that imprisonment and hardship await me everywhere I go. And that's okay. If I have to die for the cause of Christ, I'm willing to die because that's what God's telling me to do. Go to chapter 21. Look at verse 10. Look at what happens. By the way, I didn't memorize the next page because I figured it's the next page. Acts 21. Look at verse 10. While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea and coming to us. This is in a different town and a different church. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and he bound his own feet in his hands. And he said, thus says the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I'm ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. Now remember, in the previous chapter, in another town, Paul said, the Holy Spirit's telling me to go to Jerusalem. I don't know the exact specifics. I just know the Holy Spirit's warned me that imprisonment and hardship are awaiting me. He's in another town many days later. And a prophet comes up, takes Paul's belt, ties his own hands, and says, thus says the Holy Spirit, the owner of this belt will be bound when he goes to Jerusalem. The church there, trying to interpret the will of God by running straight to circumstances and other believers, interpreted it that Paul's not supposed to go to Jerusalem. But why does Paul say that, no, I'm supposed to go to Jerusalem? Because it lined up with what God had already been telling him. Through 1, 2, and 3. It was a confirmation of what Paul had heard. That's the danger of trying to interpret God's will by just trying to read circumstances. I was teaching this about 10 years ago at a church, and the pastor came to me, and he'd been a pastor for 30 years. He goes, I got to be honest with you. He said, I never even considered checking with God. He said, all my life in ministry, all I've ever done was we try something. Well, that didn't work. Must not have been the will of God. Someone else in the church would suggest, well, maybe we try this. We try it. Didn't work. Must not have been the will of God. And he goes, I never thought about asking God ahead of time. And maybe some of you haven't as well. You've got to get over the hurdle of the fact that God will speak. He will lead you. He'll guide you. But I'm going to wrap this all up this morning in this way by sharing with you a story from my personal life that kind of ties it all together. I shared with you how God had blessed in that church in Chicago, and the church began to grow, and we had so many kids. Well, I didn't tell you the backstory. The backstory was I had been an associate pastor at a very large church in New Orleans, and I'm one of 8 pastors on staff. And God had to take me through a humbling process and a breaking period where he had to show me that I wasn't God's gift to ministry, and he had to break me. And he moved me from that big church in New Orleans where I had a Sunday school bigger than most churches. And he took me to this church in Chicago where I didn't know anybody. My wife and I moved into that church parsonage right next door to the church on Halloween night of 1995. And I was broken. And I said, God, wasn't my plan to be here, but it's your plan. What do you got in mind? And began to show me these principles that I've been traveling the country teaching. Well, not only that, it was a broken church. The search committee came to me after they voted me in and said, we've tried for 30 years to make it as a church, and we've already decided if it doesn't work with you as our pastor, we're going to shut the doors. A Korean church has already offered us $1 million for the property. No pressure. But he took a broken people and a broken young man. I had just barely turned 30 years old. And we began to say, Lord, what do you have in mind? What do you want to show us? What do you want us to do? We didn't do it how we've always done it. We didn't follow how we've always been. We literally, as a people, said, Lord, we're making a mess of this. What do you got in mind? And he began to teach us how to recognize his leadership. And like I told you, the church began to explode. I mean, we weren't too far from Moody Bible College, and God began to bomb us with young Moody Bible students and children. And in 3 years, that church had grown from 50 people to 400. This is in the Bible Belt. We had so many people getting saved that literally the water department called the church office and said, you have a leak somewhere on your property. And I go, why is that? They go, your water bill has gone through the roof all of a sudden. And what was going on is so many people were getting saved. We were filling the baptistry every Sunday. Draining it, filling it, draining it, filling it. We were baptizing people left and right. And I told the water department guy, I said, hey, do you want to know where the leak is? He goes, yeah. I go, come Sunday morning at 10:30. We'll show you where the leak is. Well, during this process that God had humbled me and moved me to Chicago and began to do this work, I get a phone call from a lady in a church in Florida where my wife had grown up, where I had been youth pastor there, where she and I had gotten married, and they were going through a struggle, and she said, I'm on the search committee, and I'd like to know if you'd be interested in sending us your resume. We'd like to consider you to be our next pastor. You have to realize, God had taken me through a breaking period, and he's doing this amazing work in Chicago, and the whole idea of leaving there was a little scary because I don't want to step out of God's will again. But I got to be honest with you. I like living in Florida. And you can play golf year round. And it's a church we knew and loved. But I wasn't going to send my resume unless I knew God was releasing me and saying to. You see, if I had just said, hey, I'll just send my resume and see what happens, what number would I be jumping to? 4 and 5, wouldn't I? You know, circumstances and other believers. But that's not what God was teaching me. So I would not send him a resume until I knew God had said yes. So my wife and I began praying. We didn't tell anyone. So I go to a Baptist Association meeting. It's a Southern Baptist up there in Chicago. And I went, and there's a big room on a Monday night full of pastors from our association, the Chicago Metro Baptist Association. And I sat in the back. Nobody in the room knew what I was wrestling with. And I prayed this prayer before the meeting started. This is what I prayed. I said, Lord, it doesn't make any sense to me why you would have me leave the big city of Chicago where a revival's broken out and head south to a situation where I don't know what's going to happen next. Is this even something you would do? I don't want to send my resume unless you give me permission. Is this even something you would do? Now, as soon as I finished praying that prayer, a man in the church, I mean, sorry, in the association there, one of the pastors stood up and he said, "Hey, before the meeting starts, can I share a scripture with you all?" Now he's in a room full of pastors, 50 pastors. Who's going to say, "No, shut up, sit down"? We're going to say, "Sure, go ahead." And this is what he did. He said, "I want to read to you from Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I want you to turn there. It's on page 1099. Is that correct? 1099. I want you to see this. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. I'll know when you get there. This is the verse that he stood up and he read. I hear chuckles. When I hear chuckles, I know you found it. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert place. Listen closely. He then closed his Bible and he said this. He said it probably made no sense to Philip why God would have him leave the big city of Samaria where a revival had just broken out. Simon the sorcerer had just gotten saved and God was doing an amazing work in Samaria, but God had him head south to a situation he didn't even know was going to happen next. And he said, "That's for somebody here in this room." I didn't have to stay for the meeting if I didn't want to. I'm like, "Nah, that was me." But now I was released by God to send the resume. This is something he would do. He was speaking through his word. He was speaking through my prayer. He was speaking through all these areas. And so I told Becky, "God's releasing us to send the resume." So we sent the resume. Now again, if you've been through search processes, they're not fast. It takes a while. Through this journey, we're starting to sense God might be doing it. But of course, it's going to have to be confirmed by other believers and circumstances and whether or not that search committee really feels like I'm the guy. And it comes down to the point where they say, "We think you're the one. We're wanting to hear from you that you're going to come." We hadn't heard from God fully yet on whether or not he was releasing us to go. He had released us to send a resume, but that doesn't mean we're supposed to go. We're going to listen. I think the Bible says it this way: in all your ways, acknowledge him. Not just on the first part, and I got it from here. So we began praying and we started to sense God might be leading us to go from Chicago down to First Baptist in the Atlantic, Florida. But I want to get confirmation. We think we're hearing God speak, but I need circumstances and other believers to confirm. So I contacted the associate pastor who had just come on staff full time to work with me. He'd only been on staff with me for a month or two. And then I contacted the chairman of deacons as well. And I said to him, I said, "Can you guys go to lunch today?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll drive. I'm going to come pick you up." And I picked the chairman of deacon up at his office, and I picked up the associate pastor of the church. And I said, "Guys, we need to talk about something today that we can't run into any church members. So pick a restaurant where you don't think we'll run into any church members." And they picked a restaurant an hour outside of the city, a Bennigan's, an hour outside of Chicago. We get there, we ask for a corner table, and we go sit in the corner table. And they're looking at me. They said, "What's going on?" I said, "Here's the deal. Years ago, I used to be a youth pastor of a church down in Florida called First Baptist in the Atlantic. Met my wife there. We've been married there for the last almost a year now. They've been pursuing me to leave Chicago and come and be the next pastor there. We think God might be doing it, but I need to know what you guys are thinking. I believe you are spiritual men. I believe your prayers. What do you think God's saying?" Now, before they could even say a word, we had ordered our Cokes. And before we could say a word, a waiter in the restaurant yells out from the other side, "Jim? Jim Johnson?" And he comes running over. He goes, "Jim, I can't believe I'm running into you here." I'm like, "Robbie, I can't believe I'm running into you here. Let me introduce you to these guys. Robbie, this is Daryl, and this is Sean." Daryl and Sean, Robbie was in the youth group when I was youth pastor in Florida. One of them had a mouthful of Coke and went, Come to find out, he was up at Wheaton College, which wasn't even close to where we were, but he was waiting tables that day at that restaurant at that time. When he went back to his section of the restaurant, I turned back to the guys and I said, "I think God might be doing something." They said, "You taught us to pray. We're not going to answer until we've spent some time praying about it. We'll let you know." A couple of days later, they both contacted and said, "We hate it, but we believe this is actually something God's doing." I share this with you for this reason. This took a year. You see, part of the problem with the church today and misunderstanding how to hear God is we keep thinking, oh, God's just going to speak. Oh, I got a word from the Lord. No, He's more interested in the journey than the destination. He's more interested in walking you through learning how to hear from Him step by step. Have any of you ever had a birthday party where they had a treasure hunt? Do you know what I'm talking about? You have a kid's birthday party and there's a treasure hunt. And when you have the treasure hunt, you gather all the kids into the living room maybe and you say, look, there's a treasure hidden on the property here, but here are the rules. You got to stay together. You can't all run off. You got to stay together. Here's your first clue. And they look at the clue and they go, oh, this is going to the treehouse. And they all run to the treehouse. What's in the treehouse? Is the treasure in the treehouse? The second clue. And then they go, oh, this is the pool. And they run to the pool. Is the treasure at the pool? What's at the pool? The next clue. And they love it. Actually, there are only two clues that think this party stinks. Listen to me. That's how God reveals His will. He doesn't say, go do it. He wants you to say, how would we do this? And if you look at the scriptures, He gives the clue, then the next clue, then the next clue, and it all comes together. Abraham, come to a land that I'll show you. Where? Not how the game's played. You're going to be a mighty nation. When? I'm telling you that, but trust me. Well, it looks like Eliezer of Damascus is going to be my heir. No, here's your next clue. A son from your own body is going to be your heir. The next chapter, though, Sarah says, well, he didn't say my body, so maybe we're supposed to sleep with Hagar. You know what? God cleans up after us, even though we sometimes try to figure out His will without waiting. And then in chapter 18, they get the next clue. Sarah, this time next year, you're going to be the one that produces this child. Folks, let me just tell you, He will direct your path. He has a plan here for Raymond Baptist Church. Here are the rules. You got to all stay together. Don't all y'all run off and think, well, I think this, and I think God showed me this. And the way He's going to reveal it to you is as you spend time together and individually praying, spending time in His Word, allowing the Spirit to speak to you, circumstances and the rest. I think the Bible says that there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. He will show you what it is He has you to do. And when you go down that road, you will see God do stuff here you could never imagine, and He gets the credit. Would you stand as we close this morning? Father, again, thank You for this chance to come and to be used of You to share these truths with Your folks here. Father, there's so much more in my heart that I want to share, but this is where You've brought us, and this is where You want us to stop for now. Lord, thank You that even if it's baby steps, You desire individually in this church to begin to say, Lord, what do You have in mind? How would You have us do this? And thank You, Lord, You will show. You will speak. It'll be peace or a check in the Spirit, or Your Word will speak to it as we just spend time in Your Word, and You'll show us. And it'll be confirmed through other things and other believers. But Lord, keep us from running ahead of You and just trying to interpret Your will without learning how to recognize through prayer and through Your Spirit and through Your Word what You're showing us. Lord, the world today can try to figure out what You want by interpreting circumstances or asking somebody else. We don't need the Spirit indwelling us for that. But You have intentionally come to live within us, to lead us and to guide us. You're patient. Over the years, we've probably made some decisions came from maybe, like Abraham and Sarah. But thank You that Your plan will continue. And so, Lord, today, however it is that You're speaking, may we respond. Even if it's somebody here today that You're starting off just by showing them their need to be saved and to put their full faith in Jesus and what He's accomplished through His sinless life, through His death on the cross, and through His resurrection from the dead. Father, thank You that You will speak, and thank You that You will show us. May we become people who are giving evidence of being Your children, as it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that those who are led of the Spirit are the children of God. May that be us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.